A couple weeks ago, I had the reading, and I read Solomon's Prayer of Dedication for the Temple. And it really kind of caught my fancy. There were a few things, five things actually, in it that really just kind of jumped off the page at me. And I wanted to share with you guys. So that's in 1 Kings chapter 8. I'm going to be jumping around kind of a lot. You might find it difficult to follow along if that's what you want to do, but whatever makes it easiest for you. So King David, who is Solomon's father, he wanted to build the temple. And God said, no, you're a man of war and bloodshed, but since you are a man after my own heart, and you follow me with the best that you know how to do, I will let your son build this temple. And he did. So Solomon commissioned the building of this temple. And let's see here. When it was completed, the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Success. That's exactly what I would be looking for as Solomon. Thank God. He likes it. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. This is the beginning of Solomon's prayer. It's kind of a long prayer. I would encourage you to go home and read it. It's 1 Kings chapter 8. That's really encouraging. But as we go through here, first thing that jumped out at me is verses 27 through 29. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. So here's the first thing. The place of which you said, my name shall be there. What does that mean? This would be incredible. Imagine the Almighty picking a spot and saying, my name shall be there. He's making himself accessible. That's what's special about this. He's no longer up in the heavens, out of reach. He's right here. His name is right here. He's claiming a place and claiming a people. Notice also Solomon's supplication, that your eyes may be open toward this place night and day. So he's claiming this place, but he's also giving it his attention. God responds to Solomon's prayer. We get his response in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And God says to Solomon, after this prayer is complete, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. That's an answer to prayer right there. So where shall his name be? My name shall be there. Where? It is in my people who are called by my name. That is where his name shall be. It's in you and I. In Titus 2, we are told that he gave himself so that we can be his own special people, called by his name. And in 1 Corinthians 6, we are told that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple, not a temple, one of the temples, the temple, because we are under this new covenant of the Christ. So that we are now the thing that Solomon's praying about. right? We are the place of which he has said, my name shall be there. Oh, and by the way, he said, yes, you have my undivided attention. My eyes are open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. Verse 30. This is the very next thing that Solomon says in this prayer. And may you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place, here in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. This is a phrase that's actually, you kind of see a couple times in this prayer. When we pray toward this place. What is this, like the Muslims always facing toward Mecca whenever they pray on their little rug? Well, it probably was, actually. It was probably literal. I'm sure they did face toward the temple, the dwelling place of the Almighty. But what? It's deeper than that, right? It's about a mindset. It's about a mind that is set. Right? That's what mindset means, isn't it? A mind that is set. It's about a mind that wants to be near the name of God. It's about praying with a purpose. Because when these Israelites would turn to the east or to the west or whatever direction they needed to turn to be looking toward the temple, the dwelling place of God, they are saying, I know who I am praying to. I know why I'm praying to him. I know his promises and his faithfulness, and that's why I'm praying toward where his name shall be. Daniel was a great example of this because, and these are direct quotes from a couple different places in the book, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself, and he made it his custom to kneel down on his knees 3 times a day and pray and give thanks before his God. He purposed in his heart. This is a mind that is longing to be near his name, a mind that is set in prayer. Another phrase that I see several times in this prayer that stood out to me, and this is a brief one. It's confess your name. Verse 33 and 35. When your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place, there's that again, and confess your name. This is my people who are called by my name, humbling themselves and praying and seeking my face and turning from their wicked ways. That's what it means to confess his name. Because when God says, my name shall be there in those people, he is owning and accepting that place and that people. So when we confess his name, we are owning and accepting our identity in him. Here's another phrase. I like this one. Maintain their cause. 3 places. Then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. That was verse 45. We have verse 49. Then hear in heaven your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Verse 59. May these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day may require. What is your cause? What is our cause? As human beings on this earth. Well, my mind goes broad. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. That's our cause. Fear God and keep his commandments. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, so how about being filled with the glory of the Lord? Yeah, that's our cause. But that's the grand scheme of things. That's the big over... all-consuming cause, I guess. But our lives are made up of a lot of little causes. That's why he says, as each day requires. How about being a loving husband? Is that your cause? How about fighting temptation? All the little stupid things that get thrown at us. How about teaching your children? Is that your cause? How about paying off some loans? How about being the fragrance of Christ to the people that you're around? How about building duct and brazing copper? Does God maintain that cause? I see no reason he doesn't. That he may maintain the cause of his people as each day may require. I love Lamentations chapter 3. Through the Lord's mercy we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So when I read that, and I read these two things and put them together, I realize that every morning when you wake up, there may as well be this little angel that flutters in the window and says, "Good morning. God has set aside new mercy and compassion for you today, and he's going to maintain your cause. Goodbye." And flutters away. Right? It may as well, because it's true. Every stinking morning, he has set aside new mercy and new compassion, and he's going to maintain my cause, whatever my cause may be. His eyes are always open toward the place of which he said, "My name shall be there." Okay, number 5, 38 and 39. Whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hands toward this temple, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to all his ways whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. The plague of his own heart. That's what stood out to me in that. Do you know the plague of your own heart? I find myself sugarcoating sin, where I don't label it as sin. I label it as something bad, or maybe even something not good. Because if you say it's not good, you're not necessarily saying it's bad, you're just saying it's not good. Maybe that was a foolish decision, or maybe just a mistake. But when there is something in my life that God explicitly calls sin, it is a disease that wants to eat me alive. It's the plague of my own heart. So what I just read in 38 and 39, that is a picture of confession, which is a lost art. Nobody wants to confess. No one wants to own up to their mistakes. We want to point fingers at others or make excuses to make it seem like we're not at fault. That's in our nature. This is confession. This is not, "Oops, sorry God, I screwed up a little," which sadly sometimes my prayers kind of sound like. I don't know about you. "Oops, sorry about that." No, this is spreading your hands toward the temple, right? When he knows the plague of his own heart and spreads out his hands toward this temple and saying, "I have sinned." I thought that was interesting, because this is the perspective that God wants. Then he can hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act. That's the perspective he wants. That's the action he wants. So, that's the 5 things that I really liked about Solomon's prayer of dedication to the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the place of which he said, "My name shall be there." Have a mindset that is longing to be near his name. Pray toward the temple, if you will. Confess his name, because he maintains our cause every day, as each day may require. And know the plague of your own heart. He has said, "My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the place of which I have said, 'My name shall be there.'"